Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hands? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again? The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
Thank you. Well, grace and peace to you all. Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want to welcome you to Cook's Church as we celebrate and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. Don't forget, today is the last day to order poinsettias. In honor or in memory of a loved one, order forms are available in the Narthex and Ed Building. The deadline for turning in gift cards from either Walmart or Five Below to Kelly Harper is next Sunday, December 10th. They will go to provide Christmas gifts to some of the children at River Oaks Elementary School. We've got a couple of upcoming Christmas parties to note. Today, right after worship, the choir will gather at the home of Petey Self.
Actually, that's next week.
All right, next week, right after worship.
Sorry about that.
The youth, please bring $15 to $20 white elephant gift for an exchange. That's next Sunday, December 10th from 2 to 4. The youth will gather. And on Tuesday, December 19th at 6 p.m., all ladies are invited to join our PW circles as they join together for their Christmas party in the home of Gay List. And last, make sure to mark your calendars and join us on Sunday, Christmas Eve, December 4th. I'm getting dates wrong all over the place. And that's the hardest one to miss, right? At 10 a.m., our choir will lead us in a worship with a beautiful cantata, and at 5 p.m., we will have our candlelight worship service along with communion and carols. Invite your family and friends to join us for this lovely service to celebrate Jesus' birth. You know, yesterday, we just had such a marvelous time as the Queen City Ringers brought us the sounds of the season. It was just a wonderful time, and I don't know the exact number, but it was north of 180 people that came and joined us. It was a robust sanctuary. It was full. It was a wonderful time. I mean, people long for these kinds of experiences, and their hearts grow especially desirous of them in this season. You know, the more and more you look about these generations that are younger than us, is really to study and see kind of a treatise on loneliness and alienation and isolation and withdrawal, right? And when they come, right, they get a taste of what it feels like to be part of a spiritual family, right? And that's something that no other experience is going to ever quench. And so again, as we come into the holidays, I just encourage you to consider and think about your immediate circle of people that you know. Who are the people that are the most close to your lives? And my hope is if you look in that circle, it's all Christians and everybody is functioning well. And if they are, I encourage you, start a small group and go out and find more other people that aren't. But chances are in your circle of known acquaintances and friends, there is somebody that is experiencing difficulty or sorrow or sadness or a struggle that they've had to bear the entirety of their lives. These are the people that at Christmas time and throughout the year, honestly, that we can reach out to in clear, very known ways. Again, you know, my comfort zone is always baking, right? A butter, flour, sugar, and eggs, and you can make anything. And you'd be amazed at what walls come down as you show up at somebody's place and say, you know what, I was thinking about you and I made you some brownies, right? And again, that's food. It could be anything. Your key is you've got to take interest in the people around you. And I know you are. And please, I hope this isn't coming across as a lecture. I hope it comes across as a sincere need for the people of Christ to be invitational. Again, when you study the data and you listen to these stories of these kids, they are yearning for something bigger than themselves, and it's something that the world can't really provide for them, right? We can. We can in a very real and sustainable way. And I understand that a lot of us have got other projects and other things going on, and we're toward, you know, we've got things to do. But our jobs, and I put that word in it, and importantly, our vocation that Jesus gives us is to make disciples. And making disciples is a process, and it doesn't come out of the blue, and you don't just begin it without some thought. It takes time and dedication. Advent is a wonderful season for you to renew your spiritual commitment to Jesus Christ so that when the new year comes, you can be filled with the spirit of this season and really, remarkably, and powerfully change somebody's life. I hope that's what inspires you, is this sense that, gosh, God has given me something, this relationship with Jesus Christ that I have and I sometimes don't use and think of as much. But God has given me this amazing gift that fills me. Right? I got to come, my friends don't know this, I got to come and be surrounded by people and hear the most marvelous melodies and to really be taken to that third dimension of enjoyment in Jesus Christ last night. Right? I'm getting something that people yearn for, right? But you got to tell them, right? And Paul talks about this in Romans, how they're gonna know unless somebody is telling them. So again, I hope that you will drink deeply from the Advent wells and to really find yourself coming alive in Jesus Christ this holiday season. I can say this in no more clear and direct words. The world needs you today, but in 10 years... the world is going to need a robust Christian church. 10 years. I'm choosing a date. Please don't mark that. I just mean things are not going to be as joyful and as peaceful and as wonderful as they are today. And so in some real ways, we need to get engaged and involved and to really dig into this thing called evangelism. And thank you for allowing me a moment of personal privilege as I begin our worship service. I'm just so taken as it's been a couple of months. I signed up for TikTok, right? Which is, I get it. It makes me a Chinese satellite, right? So, right?
But I mean, this is Gen Alpha. This is Gen Z. This is where they a lot of them hang out. And I got to tell you, they need y'all, right? They need us. And if we are so myopic, if we're so focused on what am I getting, what am I receiving, then we're exactly like they are, right? And we're not really exemplifying our Christian nature. This season is about reaching people in Jesus Christ. And yeah, it's about family and food. Believe me, I like that part, right? This is the best. And so lean into it, right? Find your heart in Jesus Christ again, right? And that can happen in a lot of different ways. You know, we're a small and dwindling church. I mean, I don't think anybody's surprised to hear that. We can look around and see. But there is a strength in this church, y'all, that you know and have experienced yourself, all right? You have seen the seasons of your life come and go. And in this church, you have been surrounded with love and joy and peace and hope, right? You've received it. It's time, okay? It's time that this church, and I mean very specifically Cooks, you know, a lot of times I talk about the church in general as a way to kind of shield us from some awarenesses about ourselves. We are part of the church, and we are struggling as mightily as a church can struggle. But there is such great hope. Because wherever there is darkness, the light shines brightly, and it does not get darkened. Things are getting darker, right? If you want to debate that with me, come on, let's talk. We'll talk. I could be wrong here. I could be measuring the winds wrong. Let's talk about it. But if you see it the way that I do, then this is your clarion call. This is the time. Now is the hour. There is no more waiting. And I get it. I'm a bit of a procrastinator. Ask me when I wrote this sermon, right? But to any inveterate procrastinator, the day comes where you have to do something. That day is today. May the Lord find us all, where we're sitting and where we're standing, and awaken in us the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that we can go out and to the lost and darkened by the philosophies of this world. The Bible tells us this is going to happen. This shouldn't surprise us. That we can be and bear the light of Jesus Christ. Because, you know, in the books that I've read, the Game of Thrones, I got this saying, winter is coming. It's this ominous drumbeat that bad times are ahead. Y'all have traveled with me for 4 years now, just about. You know I don't push this trigger and I don't pull this button often. Difficult days lay ahead, all right? And we have to find our bearings and bring people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to.
Those are the announcements that I have, and thank you. Right, thank you for the window. I appreciate it. And are there any announcements that need to be brought to the congregation at this time? Okay, well, let's begin our Advent celebration. Yes.
Have a second.
Yeah, sure, Mike.
Last night we live streamed the concert. Yeah. And this morning, we had over 200 views on our live stream. So that means we are reaching out to the community. One of our viewers was in South America.
Oh, wow.
So we are far reaching. We're just not here at Cooks. We are reaching other nations.
Amen.
And I apologize. We had a little technical difficulties yesterday at the start. I assure you, I will fire that dummy for not doing it right when I get home. So, sorry for the first 5 minutes, but after that, the broadcast was wonderful.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to be doing the Advent reading today. The first part is our scripture, which is John 14:27, and it's found on page 1068 in your pew Bible. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Our reflection on it today is, today as we light the candle of peace, let it remind us of the unique peace that comes from Christ, a peace that is unlike anything the world can offer. This peace is a sanctuary in times of turmoil and a refuge in moments of distress. It calms our anxious spirit and soothes our worried minds. In the embrace of God's peace, our hearts find rest, our fears dissolve, and we are reminded that in His presence there is serenity and a quiet strength that endures. Let us pray. Lord of peace, bestow upon us your divine peace. Guide our hearts to find solace in your love and assurance in your word. Amen. Thank you. Were you stressed out?
No.
Okay.
Let us continue in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you just fill us with such joy as we gather in your majestic presence as the season of Advent unfolds before us. In these sacred moments, we pause, setting aside the clamor of the world to focus on the profound mystery of your divine plan. Lord, in your infinite wisdom, you orchestrated the stars and set the universe in motion, yet you cherish each of us with an intimate, boundless love. As the days grow shorter and the nights longer, let the light of your truth shine brighter in our hearts. Awaken us, O God, from the slumber of complacency. Stir within us a fervent desire to seek your face, to delve deeper into the richness of your word, and to embrace the transforming power of your grace. In this season of anticipation, let each twinkling light remind us of the star that guided wise men to the manger. As we prepare to celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, kindle in us a sense of wonder and awe. Renew our spirits with the joy of your salvation and the peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, as we journey through Advent, guide us to be bearers of your light and love. May our words and actions reflect the hope and promise of Christ's coming. In every carol sung, in every candle lit, in every prayer offered, let your glory be revealed. We await with eager hearts the coming of the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. In the stillness of this holy season, let us hear your gentle whisper calling us to a deeper faith, a stronger hope, and a more abiding love. May this Advent be a time of spiritual renewal and awakening for us all as we prepare to welcome the Christ child into both our hearts and our homes. In the name of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, we offer this prayer with expectant and grateful hearts. Amen. Abel, and join me in the singing of our first hymn, number 171.
was great.
That was fantastic. Thank you to the whole choir. That was really...
And Bryson, man, that drum, really. Yeah. I've never heard of Come Emmanuel with drums, right? It's awesome.
It's fired up. All right, we come to a really wonderful time, and I hope we will drink deeply of it. We get to pass the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ and really get to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. For many, this is the best part of the service. So let's really robustly enjoy the coming together of brothers and sisters in Christ as we pass the peace of our Lord. We turn our attention now to a difficult part of our service, and it's one that's It's necessary. It's necessary because in this time and in this age, we're blinded to the truth of ourselves. And the truth of this, that the Bible puts in front of us, is not that we're evil or awful or the worst thing that God ever created. But what the Bible gives us is that we're fallen. We're sinners, right? And as sinners, we have something that we do. And what we do is confess our sins to the Lord with the expectation and the knowledge that we'll receive His grace and not His condemnation. But it's so vital for us because it's the thing that keeps us from buying into the hype that tells us we're the greatest thing in the world. We're not. We are good. We are creations of God designed with a purpose. But in our state, we're fallen. And so let us confess our sins together now boldly using the words in this morning's prayer of confession. Merciful and compassionate God, in this sacred season of Advent, we humbly come before you to confess that we often lose sight of the profound peace and the promise of restoration you have laid before us. We acknowledge our impatience, our reluctance to wait in your divine timing, and our failure to recognize your hand at work in the intricate tapestry of our lives. Forgive us, O Lord, for the times we have strayed from the path you have set for us, ignored the call to prepare the way for your Son, and overlooked the opportunities to embody your love in our actions. As we wait for the glorious coming of Christ, help us to repent with sincere hearts, to renew our unwavering commitment to you, and to find solace and peace in the assurance of your unfailing and limitless love. Teach us to embrace the quietness of Advent, to reflect on your goodness, and to anticipate the joy of Christ's birth with reverent hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we're assured a wonderful promise that God has acted powerfully and permanently in our lives through our baptisms, that we are new creation. God has washed away the old and has delivered us into the realm of His light and His love. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Having received the great news of the gospel, we turn now our attention to the statement where we articulate our faith. We use the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's an ancient one that gives us the basics of what we believe. Let us rejoice and say these words with conviction and love. Join me in the Apostles' Creed found also in this morning's bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join us in the singing of our second hymn.
Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." And through this Advent season, I chose this because we experience the wonder of the coming of the Christ child. And so how is it not able for us to be in the presence of God and just be silent and enjoy His presence? So reflect on that as we sing this powerful hymn.
Them with Mr. Mike.
Dad.
In this time of turmoil.
In this time of turmoil.
We come now into a time of reading God's word and proclaiming it. Guys, you know, the Bible talks about the days are coming when there, you know, there'll be bad teachers, right? There's bad teachers of this stuff, and we got to keep that in mind. That's why we always come back to the text, right? The Bible is significant and vital. It is the word of God, so let us hear it and be changed by it, and let us say a prayer to prepare ourselves for it. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life, we pray. Father God, that you would break through the clamor and the calamity of our lives and allow us to be delivered your word, pure, sparkling, shiny, true, bearing your light and changing our lives. Allow us to ponder it deeply, to meditate on it within the confines of our hearts, and then to find your word's warming and changing presence taking us over. Invade us today by your word and send us out into the world to do your bidding. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry, and I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah. Behold your God, behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young.
Our New Testament reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesian churches. It comes from chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 13 through 22. I invite you to hear now the word of our Lord. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace they might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it's interesting how your television viewing patterns change when you get married, right? There was a set of things that I watched before Natalie and I were married, and then there became a set of things that I watch now that Natalie and I are married. And I've acclimated myself to them, and one of the things we watch a lot of is that show, that channel, rather, HGTV, right? Home and Garden, right? And I think I finally figured out, right, I can't do anything, right? Like, I'm technically inept, but, you know, the fact of the matter is that it's fun to watch these guys that know what they're doing restore houses, right? Like, that is fascinating to me, how you can take something that's washed up, withered, and worn, and then with the right knowledge, bring it back to life. And, you know, these physical dwelling spaces, they're important to us, and I happened to read a story that really touched my heart for a number of reasons. First and foremost, because I thought it really captured the sense of what God does restoring us in a kind of slightly different context. And so the story is about a restaurant, and that's the reason I like it. I used to work in restaurants. I like cooking food, right? It's pretty easy. It's a place called The Ordinary, and it's in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, what makes The Ordinary a little different was that the owner, Mike Latta, was a chef, and he found a spot in Charleston, South Carolina, that he really had a vision for.
It was an old brick and limestone bank right there on King Street, right, which is in the heart of Charleston. But it had been a bank, and it had been built in the 1920s, but abandoned somewhere in the 70s and just kind of left. But, you know, brick and limestone buildings, they've got good guts. Isn't that what the builders say? And it made it. But Mike Latta came and really had a vision for the place. He saw this old, battered building becoming instead a place where there would be laughter and food and fellowship. And he began to lovingly, like, work on it himself. A lot of sweat equity went into it. And I can just imagine him coming in. And you and I couldn't see it. We would just see, you know, an old bank building. But he looked at the bank vault and imagined an arched entryway into the oyster bar. And so he took his time and lovingly, you know, built that up. And now The Ordinary is such a popular restaurant, you try to get a reservation, right? Isn't that what they say? And it's expanded. I think there's now the ordinary restaurant in Savannah, if my Google searching is accurate. But what I really loved about this particular image and this particular man was that he saw value in something that was withered and broken. As we think about the gifts that God gives us this Advent season, He is restoring us, much like a master builder would. You know, the story of the Bible makes it very clear that we are, in our natural states, alienated and sinful before God and not really giving Him much mind or consideration. At that point, had God been anything but a giving and magnificent Lord, you could see He would have wandered away from us and left us to our own devices. But that's not the nature of God. Instead, as He sees us broken and withered due to languishing in our sin, He still sees the original grandeur of your design, right? He still knows what you were created and designed for. And the great good news of the Bible is that God is this master builder. He doesn't allow decrepit buildings to just stay there and wither, right? He instead, by the power of His Holy Spirit, comes in and changes everything, making the old new. Don't miss that as the first turn of the new life in Christ, of going from the old to the new, from the darkness to the light, from the sinner to the sanctified. Right? This is a movement in your life where God makes the declaration. It's like when Mike Latta saw that building and knew that it had such potential, he bought it. Right? When his friends told him he was nuts. Right? This is a dog, a loser. Don't do it. But God knows your original creation, your design. He programmed you to begin with. And so He knows your potential and your possibilities. And so the Bible tells us that at a particular time and in a particular way, God comes into our lives and turns the old into the new. And there's great scriptures around that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. It's a total renewal in Jesus Christ. It's a change. It's a reorientation. It's a 180-degree turn. And God makes it possible and doesn't leave anything to chance. Just like a house is a collection of systems of HVAC and electrical, and some of the builders will have to mention some of the other systems. I don't know, right? But they're systems, and they have to be worked on. And God does that. And if we'll read the scriptures, we'll see it. First of all, He gives us a new heart. I want to read to you from Ezekiel 36, 26. God says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God comes in, changes you from old, new to old, and begins to give you back a fleshy heart. Your stone heart is removed. But it isn't just that. He continues to work on these systems. And the one that's the most ruined and the most poisoned of them all is in between those things we call ears. And yet what God says is God is going to transform and renew even that, our minds. Here's what He says in Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. God is coming into us, body, mind, and spirit, and restoring it all, renovating it from top to bottom. You will find new life in Christ to be wonderful and awesome. But it doesn't end there, right? Because as we know, if Mike Latta had taken that building, that massive brick and limestone, and converted it into a restaurant, and then left it dormant, it would return to its old, busted, broken down state. If you want some interesting viewing, go and Google Sochi Olympics venues. They had an Olympics, a Winter Olympics, I think it's been about a decade now in Russia, but the Russians built this whole stadium and this whole venue, and they just left it. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's a ghost town. Look at the images, right? When a house isn't lived in, when a venue isn't used, it breaks down slowly, but it does until it becomes decrepit again. And so what God wants to do is take us from this place of neglect that we've been in, neglecting our spiritual needs, and he wants to deliver us to nourishment, much like Mike Latta wanted to take the people of Charleston and feed them. But God feeds us in some very specific ways. He feeds us through his word. I mean, again, this stuff is coming eerily true. As you read in the Bible, they talk about a day in which the blind will be leading the blind, and the philosophy of the world will overtake the wonders of the goodness of the word of God. We're here. We're there. That day is here. And yet what God wants to do in restoring us is to fill us with the goodness and preciousness of his word that is true and unadulterated and will leave us transformed. We need the word. We also need other things. We need prayer. How's your prayer life in this season? I find myself, I wish that I could tell you as a professional man of God, if there should be even such a thing, that my prayer life was always on an upward path. It comes up and down. My guess is yours does as well. But what I can unequivocally testify to, and I know you can as well, is that when that life of prayer is really robust and rich and full, my life is better, right? My life is fuller. I see more clearly the hand and design of God in everything, and it changes me and makes me more aligned with my mission, which is to seek and save the lost, right? So when we're nourished and refreshed, we become the people that God wants us to be, just like that restaurant did. And how do we know? How do we know that that's happened? Well, we're going to have a community arise above us, around us, rather. A community will come together in our presence simply because we are exemplifying and living out the lives that Jesus Christ wants us to have. Right? When you are engaged and involved, you are attractive to other people. They want to know what you're doing and what's going on. So as God restores you and delivers you back to your original purpose, you will see more and more people coming to you, right? You know, we've missed some things. In my ministry, I've missed things. And again, there are things that I wish I could go back and change, but life doesn't work like that. You know, we started a ministry at First Presbyterian Church in Mount Holly. It was called the Shepherd's Ministry, and what we had was simply in a freezer in the Ed Building, we had hundreds of frozen casseroles that anybody could come and grab and take home and know that they were going to eat, right? We could also, and we did, we deployed it when neighbors had kids, right? We could go grab one of those casseroles and a bag of salad from the food line and a dessert. Maybe we whip it together and we deliver it, right? It's a powerful message. We love you. Well, we did some of that with this guy named David. And David came, and I would get the reports that David was taking food from the freezer, and I was overjoyed. This is what we want. We want people to be nourished, right? Just like God wants to nourish us with his word. But that church didn't have anything for him, right? What we had was worship. And because we were an older congregation and people knew everybody and they didn't really hurt for social stuff, we didn't really make inroads with David. He would come, listen to the sermon, grab a casserole, and depart. Eventually, he stopped coming to get the casseroles. Now, again, I hope, and I've had some conversations with him in the months that transpired, and I hope he got situated, but he didn't. We missed that one, right? The great thing is we're not alone. There are other people out there working on God's behalf. It's God's will that David is going to be found. What I want to turn our attention to is, what are we doing? Who are the people that are sorting into our midst and then wandering off, right? And I don't mean just at the church, but who in your life is kind of occupying on the fringes, in and out? And how could you, feeling the joy of restoration in Jesus Christ, how can you reach them? I don't know, but you know. And I encourage you in this season of restoration, as God comes in and once again remakes us into his new creation, he transforms us body, mind, and soul, and nourishes us with his word and in our prayer life. And then he says to us, go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to obey all the commandments and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I botched that one a little bit, but the intent and meaning is there. We're called to reach the lost. And that, friends, is the sign that God has done his job and that we are fully and completely restored, just like that restaurant in Charleston. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn our attention now to the prayers that we lift up to God, knowing and trusting that God not only hears our prayers, but that he does indeed respond. We pray with the conviction of people who believe that God acts. So join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your work in this world through Jesus Christ. We adore you and love you and thank you for this season that spreads such good cheer. Gracious God, into this Advent season, continue that work of restoration within us. Lift us up by study of your word and through our prayer lives so that we might reach out into the world and see it fill with your love. Heavenly Father, we pray for this world and for this community is broken, Father, and we know it. We can't fix it, but we can certainly do as you do and love it unreservedly. And so, Father God, we pray for everyone in the world, even including our enemies, as you've told us to do. So too, Father God, do we turn our attention more immediately, thinking of the people that populate our lives, and we pray for them. Father God, if there are folks in our circle of knowledge that do not know the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for them especially today. Awaken within us the desire to reach them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and awaken within them a desire, Father God. So too do we pray for the sick, grieving, lonely, and anxious, remembering especially today Rick Green as he recovers from surgery, and Sarah Yarborough as he struggles with health, and Jill Griffin, who we know is still hospitalized, Carrie Troxler's son Scott, who is struggling, Steve Self, we pray for Elizabeth Bullock, Aline Gant, we pray for Sarah Justice and Tom McClure and Nancy and Richard Smith. We pray for those that are grieving losses of loved ones. We pray for the others that are in need of your intercessory prayer. We make all these prayers hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now we turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Father God, you so richly bless us. Thank you for the music that filled our hearts last night and for the music that's filled our hearts this morning. Father God, so wonderfully you provide for us, and now returning a portion of those blessings back, we just pray that you would use this gift to glorify you and bring Jesus' name known to everyone. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Unfortunately, because of the weather, we're not going to have lemonade on the lawn today, and I apologize about that. But we do have the awesome opportunity to come back next week and to rejoin in this flow of worship. In this coming week, I pray that the themes of Advent will resonate deeply in your heart, that you'll think truly about your relationship with Jesus Christ, that you'll see his handiwork in your restoration, and that you'll take in his nourishment and his in prayer and through the Word of God, and that you'll find yourself with a hand extended and the light of Jesus Christ shining out of your heart. And now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.